Welcome to We Are The Watchers.
This is episode 164. G'day.
Hi, are we back live?
We are. This is proper now. Should we pull the curtains back a little bit?
Do it.
We haven't recorded a podcast for...
a couple of weeks.
Maybe three.
Something like that.
Yeah,
had a proper break.
Yeah.
Not like us.
We don't like to take a break.
No.
Because we don't want to get used to it.
That's right. It's very easy.
It's too easy. And you're also as far away from me as possible.
Yeah, we have a slightly different studio set up this week, so if we sound different, bear with us.
Yeah.
We've got some new microphones coming, so we should sound pretty schmick.
We should sound hopefully back to normal soon, and if not, this is what it's going to sound like.
Just for a little bit.
It'll be okay. Like, we'll throw some magic through there.
But it's worth it because we're getting the studio set up to try some live streaming
and
a bit more video work.
That's right. It's going to look really cool.
Yeah, so you'll get the benefit.
Yeah, exactly. So stop your whinging.
That's right. But we should also say that this is the furthest away we've ever recorded a podcast that wasn't via Zoom.
It's really weird, isn't it?
Normally there's about 4 feet between us, whereas today there's a good 2 meters.
Yeah, at least, right? COVID?
We can blame COVID. And as we say, we're changing the studio setup.
Yeah.
We're going long tables now and you've got a producer's desk, hot desk.
I honestly feel like I'm interviewing you for... a position.
Ah, sure. You can be Charlie Rose.
Okay, fantastic.
Greetings, subscribers and members of the Watchersville latest newsletter. Many of us around the town have noticed our clothes are a little tighter than they were a few weeks ago. Now, they could have shrunk in the wash, but there's a far greater chance that we've all eaten a little bit too much over the holidays and we have a few extra kilos we need to get rid of. So we're all invited to meet at the big park each morning at dawn and join one of the really hard circuit training boot camp classes. Organiser Roger has made sure that there's enough spaces for every single citizen of Watchersville to come along and get back to their pre-ham, turkey, trifle and pudding consuming weight. Excuses will not be accepted and aggressive door knocking will take place at the homes of those who don't show up. Lifesavers at the Council Aquatic Centre have had to put signs up on the side of the pool informing people that swimming perpendicular to the marked lane lines and ropes is not allowed. This is due to several collisions that took place as swimmers doing laps were blindsided by the over 65s water walking club. A dedicated lane for the group will be made available several times a week in hopes that accidents won't occur in the future. The Wonder Years re-watching party has been most enjoyable for those involved. A lot of familiar faces, some who have never been in anything else again, and others whose appearance in the show led to many of us saying, "Huh, that's Ross from Friends." It's not too late to get involved, but you will have to binge the first 3 series ahead of this week's Series 4 premiere. Will Kevin and Winnie stay together or get together depending on where they're up to in their relationship's roller coaster ride? Only time and Google will tell. That's it for now. Stay safe and happy, all residents of Watchersville.
All right, so we've watched a lot of stuff over the last couple
of
weeks.
Too many things.
And I don't even know if I'm going to get to all of it, which would be good because I may run out of time to watch some stuff. You know, I like to bank stuff up.
Neither of us are getting to everything that's on our list today. I think we need to siphon some off for later episodes.
Yes.
We should do an episode of I'm getting stuff out of my...
Yeah, I can see a bit busy over there.
Trying to get my glasses out.
Oh, right, so you can read.
Yeah, I forgot to put my glasses on, everybody. Ha ha, once again, looking behind the curtain, Tom wears glasses. There we go. I can see the bloody notes now.
There he is.
Hello.
That's better.
I have watched many, many things. We can't do it all today. Let's bunch some off. If there's classic stuff we've watched before, let's keep it for a classics episode.
Yep, I like that.
We should come up with a witty name for that at some point.
We should even sing a new song or something.
I like it.
But we'll forget to do it and then have to do it live.
Let's do it live.
That's the way we do it.
Yes.
I've watched a lot of older stuff as well over the break, which was really nice, but also tried to watch a few new things and play a few new things.
Sure. I had unwatched things in my backlog.
Mm.
So I got through some good stuff. I've got some recommendations to make. And there was a few new things that dropped that were pretty good.
Lucky. Should we get into the news first then?
Shall we?
So I saw Queen Latifah's going to star in a reboot of, you know that movie The Equalizer with Denzel?
Denzel, hell yeah.
I think I remember Abe loving those two movies.
He does.
There were two of them, right?
Correct. Yeah. He's a big fan. And it was a TV show back in the 70s, yes. I believe.
Yeah, so they're rebooting it and she's going to be the main star in it. Of course, for that kind of film, for that kind of TV show, I should say, you're going to need Chris Noth. So they got Chris Noth.
That's Mr. Big, right?
That's Mr. Big. He was in Law and Order, I think, for 422 years.
Sure. I most recently saw him in the Doctor Who Christmas special.
How was he?
Gleefully antagonistic. He keeps getting more and more evil every time they invite him back.
Brilliant. Do they put John Hamm in any Doctor Who stuff? I reckon they should ask him.
No, he hasn't been yet. I can see him slotting in the world. He loves all that stuff. Any chance to appear in something British?
Yeah, that show is coming soonish. I think at the beginning of next month because it's going to be so the Super Bowl will be on early Feb, and then it has got its season premiere, like its first episode, straight after the Super Bowl.
Okay, so that's the big one.
That's the one that I think they're banking a lot on. CBS, maybe, I think it was.
Sure.
We'll never know because I decided to delete that bit of information.
You don't need all of it. It'll pop up again.
Also, CBS doesn't exist here, so it's not really an issue.
No.
What have you found around the traps?
So a big one has been around how HBO Max is going to be having all the films next year, and that pissed off most of Hollywood, anyone that had done any films for them. So it's now looking like they have worked out some sort of deal, and when I say worked out, the bean counters and the accountants and – some of the lawyers seem happy with this deal, but the creatives are not totally on board yet. Mm. But the deal that's being flouted is that the bonus back ends, which is, you know, if you star in a movie, say Jake Gyllenhaal, he stars in a movie, there would be some clause in his contract that once that film makes $100 million, he makes an extra $1 million or something like that. Do you know what I mean? There's all these clauses that are built in for the bigger the star is. The less,
like a Robert Downey Jr. kind of situation?
Very much so. So you can get them at an affordable price.
Yep.
But if it pays off, they make a lot more bank.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So the bonus backends will now trigger at 50% of what their previous box office projection figures were.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were getting your bonus at $50 million, you will now get it at $25 million and this sort of stuff.
Okay.
Which is great, but Wonder Woman 1984 has been out for 2-3 weeks in the States and it's made $34 million.
Yeah, it's not much.
Which is what it would know, like a year ago, that's what it would make on opening night on like a Thursday preview night.
It's changed so much.
It's
crazy. I mean, it's going to take ages for it to, I don't even know if it's going to go back to normal, but it's going to take ages to go to a new version of how they're going to do things.
Yes.
I noticed I didn't want to say new normal.
No, because there's no new normal. Who knows when that will be, what it will be. And you've got some, you know, HBO Max are like, all right, we're getting our films out there. We're going to use them to pump up our subscriber base and that stuff.
Yep.
Sure, that's fine. Disney, on the other hand, are being very selective on what films they put out on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
Marvel have gone, nah, well, let's just hold out on the movies. These are cinematic events. They should be on the big screen.
There's
plenty of films that are doing the same sort of thing. So it's interesting watching all these different companies make decisions on how things go through. I feel sorry because there's so many people getting screwed over by this, like the guys at Legendary who've got Kong vs. Godzilla coming out, which was meant to come out in like May last year and like, it keeps getting put back.
You've been talking about that for ages.
I'm so excited for it. These guys were close to signing a deal with Netflix for $225 million for the film, which would be, I think, the most that Netflix has paid for a film.
I think that's good.
And then HBO Max, who paid for only something like 25% of the film, Warner Brothers paid for 25% of the film, stopped that deal. And
bastards.
Yeah, Legendary will be hugely out of pocket for that decision. So, yeah, it's interesting watching all this stuff behind the scenes play out.
Because when you think about that, in that sort of situation, then that's going to have flow-on effects for Legendary's future projects.
Well, and Legendary don't tend to do a lot of the really big budget stuff. They keep to a lot more, you know, they have Blumhouse. They do a lot of the horror stuff and a lot smaller scale. So these guys jumping up and trying some of the bigger stuff and then getting screwed so royally.
Yeah, it may not happen for a while again.
No.
They may just decide to do what they can with as little money as possible. And they may end up making some really cool, interesting things. You know, like there might be some really great movies coming from what happened, but also you won't get those big flashy productions.
I hope there's not in like 2 years a whole glut of COVID movies.
We're a bit worried about that. We don't need them.
Like I'm stoked because this week, so Friday this week is when WandaVision kicks off on Disney Plus, yes. The new Marvel show, and The Stand begins on Amazon Prime down under. And I'm so excited for The Stand, but at the same time, it's not the right time for The Stand.
No. You know that I was reading it on and off last year and I think I'm up to about page 700. I'm like, might just read a couple of other things instead.
But you're past all of that now.
Yeah, I am. Oh, yeah, that the whole flu thing's...
Captain Trips is well over.
Yeah.
And you're reading the expanded version,
yes.
Yeah? So Trash Can Man, is he out doing his own thing?
Yeah.
And has he met up with the kid yet?
Yes.
Okay, I hate the kid.
Yeah.
I hate the kid.
Which is, I think, the point, right?
Oh, yeah. So originally, I thought for the TV series, I think they were going to have Marilyn Manson play the kid. Mm. And then they just decided to cut it.
Yeah, fair. Interesting choice, though. Like, interesting decision to cut.
Oh, look, he serves a very strong purpose in the book in that he's the most gleefully evil character.
Yeah.
He's true chaos, like chaotic evil, compared to Trash Can, who is he's kind of like the bad size version of Tom Cullen.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, it's, you know, somewhat impaired, naive, following the whims and wishes of others.
Being made fun of whole life.
Yep.
Someone's noticed you.
Yep. If you go through, there's the light and dark of each character trait on both sides of that army, pretty much with the exception of the kid.
Which is why they left him out then.
Yep. Anyway.
I'm going to get back into it. I will. I'm going to get back into it, but I just... Not yet.
For a visual representation of this audio, check out the Watchers podcast on Instagram.
I've been on a bit of a Neil Gaiman binge lately, so I kind of feel this is along the same vein. So Terry Pratchett's Discworld novel, The Amazing Morris and His Educated Rodents, is going to be an animated film. Going to come out, well, hopefully, next year with Emilia Clarke, Hugh Laurie and Hugh Bonneville, because you've got to have as many Hughes in it as possible. So three people who have been in lots of things, all of note.
A few Hughes.
Hooves. It's about a cat. Yeah, exactly. It's about a cat whose money-making scam involving a pipe-playing child and a swarm of talking rats goes awry. It was the 28th novel in the Discworld series. I've read a few of the Discworld books, mainly when I was a teenager and I quite enjoyed them, but it's been a while since I've read any and I definitely haven't read 28 of them.
You'd think I'd be into Terry Pratchett.
But I know you're not.
I'm not.
It's fair. Sometimes there's stuff that I personally think I should like, and then I start consuming it or playing it or reading or whatever, and I'm like, nah.
I have a very good reason, I feel. I've already got too many multiverses in my mind that I'm keeping track of, and that is a very large expanded universe that is just too daunting.
That's massive. I'm pretty sure you would have to read them all in a row, but I don't think I have. I think I've just picked up.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah, it's a lot of work. Anyway, I think that, to me, it sounds like this story can be quite standalone-y.
Sure.
And that's why they've picked this one out. And I wouldn't mind watching it.
Money-making cat with schemes.
Yeah, ginger cat.
Will he be like, what's his name, Chester Cheeto? What's the one that raps with Paula Abdul?
Oh.
MC Cat.
And what about
Opposites Attract.
Opposites Attract. What about the cat from Top Cat? Do you remember that cartoon?
Oh, no, I'm thinking Henry's cat. But yes, Top Cat was great. Top Cat,
that kind of cat.
He was always up to mischief and always. Alley cat.
Just, he was just trying to get by, but he had to get up to mischief in order to continue getting by.
They said it couldn't be done, but I just watched them put a baby in the corner. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
Oh, look, before you crack into your one of your other news stories, I wanted to throw this one in really quickly. Did you see this week a heap of people have been removing, aka photoshopping, Trump out of Home Alone 2?
No, but I like it.
So on Twitter, it's a whole thing. Instead of him like...
In the foyer.
Yeah, that's right.
You don't
right.
need to explain this.
Yeah. So they've put the people that I've seen...
Pigeon Lady?
that I haven't seen Pigeon Lady, but that's a really simple one, right? Simple.
Or get the dude with the shovel from the first film that he thought was the killer. Put him in. Why is he in New York? He's lost in New York too.
I'm sad for him. But adult Macaulay Culkin's been photoshopped in there.
Of course.
That makes sense. Keanu, very lovely man.
Rory Culkin. Has anyone popped in Rory?
They should.
They should. Everyone's got time for Rory Culkin.
He does a lot of work. He was in Fargo.
He's very good in Succession.
He does way out of all the Culkins. Oh, I think he's done the
Scott Pilgrim. He's one of the best parts about Scott Pilgrim. He's the gay roommate.
I haven't seen Scott Pilgrim.
Oh, it's fantastic.
I'll have to check that out. Dolly Parton's been photoshopped in.
Good, saving the day.
Yeah, Guy Fieri. I thought you'd like that one.
Yes, I have my Guy Fieri mask here.
Well, there it is.
Hello, everybody. It's my keys. No, I've got Guy's goatee as my mask when I'll go out and about.
That's really nice.
People are concerned.
Yeah.
I talk and the lips don't move.
As they should.
Very good at ventriloquism. As the mayor of Flavortown.
Your hair's normal though. That's the problem.
Thank you. That's very nice of you to say. I buzz cut it myself 2 days ago. I haven't been able to check if I did good at the back or not. But
just looks holds up. Like a hair.
It's a man's haircut.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all it is. I got all these greys happening on the side. I was like, what the fuck? Fuck you, 2020, making me stressed.
I was going to say that. It reminds me of, you know how they, it's like how they always look at a president's head, the US president's head, 8 years before and after. It's like that, but it's 1 year for everyone.
2020 combined with a newborn, hospital stays.
Yeah.
I am looking haggard. A little bit older. Lost all this weight last year and put some back on.
It's bound to happen, 2020.
I got Christmas ham that was untainted by pineapple.
Fantastic.
Take home, I had a whole ham for me.
Just one ham for Tom.
So much ham for like a week.
I found some of my ham recently and it was still fine.
Nice.
Yeah.
I reckon I'm like, at one point, I think I was about 1/8 pig.
You know, there was 1 year that I didn't buy the ham, but somebody else did. But you know, you often get a bit. Take this chunk. Take this chunk.
I'm not going to put it away.
Just take this chunk.
Someone will eat it.
That's right.
And a little bit of pudding.
Just a little
Christmas pudding.
Little pudding. And I ate it and then was like, I've not finished with the hams. I went to the supermarket and got some of the ham on special. I'm like, I still need my Christmas ham.
Need more ham.
Yeah, not enough ham in my life.
The show that knows more than Jon Snow. You're listening to We Are The Watchers.
So Kevin Feige has been having a bit of a chat with the press over the last couple of days with WandaVision coming out.
Yeah.
Because he's now in charge of the TV stuff as well, which is great. But some interesting things have come up. The main one that really stood out to me is that Feige has said that Deadpool 3 is definitely happening.
Cool.
Deadpool is going to be coming to the Marvel Universe. So he's joining the MCU proper.
Okay.
But he will still be rated R.
Interesting.
And the best way to think of it is there's a very good chance that other Marvel characters will appear in his movie and he can say awful things and do awful things to them. But the second that he maybe pops up in a different one, they will have a running joke that he can't swear and he will try.
He'll try really hard.
It'll be like Good Place.
Yeah. Good Place. Forking good.
Someone's thrown out there that he should be allowed one fuck. Because in PG, you're allowed one,
and he'd be the one that gets it.
And he spends the entire movie going, no, not yet, not yet, and then stubs his toe or something and drops it accidentally and then is pissed off for the rest of the film.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Something like that.
That's funny.
So there's all sorts of fun things they can do with that.
Because also then you've got all the fans sort of watching, waiting as well, like the anticipation.
Well, you can't really have – you know, you can't have him hanging out with Rocket Raccoon and Rocket suddenly go, oh, fuck you, you cock gobbler, which is what would happen in a Deadpool movie, but it's not going to be right for an 8-year-old watching that film and Rocket suddenly swearing.
No.
That will be an interesting balance. And I think they can address him being in the MCU. It's like he just turns to the camera and says, oh, company got bought. See what happens. You know, like they don't need to jump through
it.
Like
and just break it.
Maybe he jumps through one of Doctor Strange's portals when Doctor Strange isn't looking and then he's over. Or what, you know what I mean? It can be as involved or as throwaway as it needs to be. Anyway, the reason why I'm bringing up that is because I'm moving over to the other side now. So DC, strap in. This is big.
Okay, DC.
I'm not going to go into all of it because it's way too hardcore. But so a few years ago they had an event called – this is in the comics, DC Metal. And it was about a dark universe, so a parallel universe of ours that lives underneath. And whereas a multiverse, any decision you make fractures into different possibilities, the dark universe is the poor decisions not taken.
Mm-hmm.
So nightmares, bad reflections and stuff happen down there.
Mm.
So it's a universe that they've used for storytelling for a while there. So there's a vampire Batman.
Ooh.
And all this sort of stuff down there.
That sounds all right.
It's very cool. Anyway, yeah. So there's while that was happening, there was a big storyline where in one of these universes, the Batman killed Joker. And in Joker's last moments, he snapped his neck. And in Joker's last moments, he was laughing because inside his heart, he'd installed a gas canister that blasted Joker venom into Batman's face as he died. So Batman in this universe became the Batman who laughs. And it is Batman with the Joker's mind.
Ooh.
Who promptly kills everyone in that universe, the dark universe, and starts working his way up through the universes to get to our main one.
Like Dante's
yes.
Inferno kind of thing.
And it's horrible. And he starts plucking other evil Batmans and forms an evil Justice League of bad Batmans. And there's the Robin King, who's a psychotic 13-year-old Batman. All great. This sort of stuff. So they've been having an event this year called Death Metal.
Mm.
And the Batman Who Laughs killed the universe, killed our universe. And Wonder Woman somehow became like an ethereal god who represented the power of storytelling and history. And she fought the Batman Who Laughs, who became a demigod.
Mm.
And somehow, so as I said, this is all really confusing and I still don't get all of it. But basically, DC has done these events in the past. There's Crisis on Infinite Earths, Rebirth, Flashpoint. These are these major events where something happens and it fixes their continuity. And they're like, oh, the last 5 years actually took place in 2 years and this storyline didn't happen and things like that. It's gotten very, very convoluted.
It sounds really convoluted.
About every 5 years they have to reboot.
Okay.
What this event did, which was so brilliant, is it went the other way.
Mm.
Everything that has ever happened now matters. And there's no universe. It's now a DC omniverse.
Ooh.
Is what they're calling it. So there is the Prime Earth, which is the one that we followed for now and whatever, but there's also at the opposite end of reality is an Elseworlds Earth where anything is possible. Mm. And within those two planes, every DC story that's ever been told fits in there. So the movies now exist in this universe.
Jeez,
the TV
right.
shows all exist in this universe.
Like animated all TV the TVs. Show,
everything exists in some fashion, in some way.
Far out.
It all now counts, which is hilarious because that's what Marvel's been doing in their films for 11 years. But DC have finally gone, yeah, we've made this too convoluted.
We probably should do it.
Let's just open it up.
Yeah.
So this makes very interesting storytelling possibilities for the future of maybe comic book Harley Quinn will start resembling Margot Robbie or, you know, they may start aligning things a little more rather than keeping everything separate, which has traditionally been their way.
So I did see a headline maybe about a week ago saying that Michael Keaton is now canon Batman or something like that. And I was really confused what that meant.
So
is this part of that?
Kind of, yes, very much okay. So Michael Keaton is booked to be in the Flashpoint movie, which is the Flash movie where, when Flash was 10 or something, he saw his mother murdered. He didn't know exactly what it was. He later learns in life that there was a guy obsessed with him, Eobard Thorne, obsessed with the Flash. He was from the 25th century and he stole stuff from the Flash Museum and came back.
Mm.
He wanted to make Flash be a better hero, so he went back in time to kill his mother and put him on the track to be more heroic. It's a fucked up thing.
Wow.
It broke Barry Allen's mind and he stupidly decided to go back and try and save his mother.
Hmm.
And in doing so, creates a different story, like a completely different timeline called Flashpoint, where Bruce died. Like Bruce Wayne died in the alley and his father becomes Batman. Thomas Wayne becomes Batman.
Right.
And I think this may be where we see Michael Keaton.
Sure.
Michael Keaton may play Thomas Wayne instead.
Mm-hmm.
Or he may be just a much older version of Batman that we saw in those other movies. Mm. But yes, it is that idea now of everything matters, everything can be tied together. And it's, as I say, it's funny because Marvel's been doing this for a long time and they're, you know, Sam Raimi's working on Doctor Strange 2 at the moment, which is hilarious because, yep. Okay, so this is my next news story, but I'll weave it in. So Spider-Man 3 is due to start filming soon, mm-hmm. and they've made all these announcements. So first they were like, Jamie Foxx is back, and he was Electro in the second amazing Spider-Man, Andrew Garfield's. Yep. Then a few weeks ago they announced that Alfred Molina is back, yep. who was Dr. Octopus in the second Tobey Maguire film. So they're adding villains from different ones. Tobey Maguire hasn't acted in 7 years. He focuses on poker now.
Now that you mention it, I've not seen him in anything, and that's why. So he just does the poker circuit?
Yep.
Wow.
Does very well at that. But apparently Sam Raimi has been on the blower with him. Oh. Told him, time to put the suit back on.
Start working out.
I don't know if they're going to make him work out. I think this might be seeing Peter B. Parker from Into the Spider-Verse, the overweight, slightly older one. That's kind of meant to be Tobey Maguire. And if he's on board, Andrew Garfield will be on board. Mm. So are we getting a live action Into the Spider-Verse? It might be a really good way to get Miles on screen.
Yeah, who is anecdotally, because I'm not a Spider-Man aficionado, but anecdotally he seems like one of the most popular versions.
Oh, he's the most popular character created this century.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, in the last 20 years, it'd be him and Ms. Marvel, mm-hmm. the stretchy girl, she's getting her own show. But yeah, he's leagues above everyone else. It's amazing how big he's blown up.
Yeah, right.
So yeah, I'm very excited for that. And yeah, so it is funny watching DC doing this from a corporate perspective of they're now lining up all of their ducks in one row, whereas, as I say, Marvel's been doing it for so long that they're just aping, but it's a very good thing.
Yeah. So DC fans are happy about all of this, or, I mean, surely you've got some of them who are like, no, I don't want to – I don't.
Correct.
Yeah.
It's comics, so there's always someone pissed off and rallying on a message board somewhere.
Fair enough.
But most people, look, it's very convoluted.
Yeah.
But every time they do one of these, it's convoluted. So only convoluted because it's the opposite of what they normally do.
Sure.
And I promise you, in 5 years, it'll probably go back the other way. They'll have another event. Another Supergirl will die.
Now nothing means anything.
No.
Yeah. Well, when that happens, we might need to have another breakdown again. Just to get my head around it.
And I have given you the absolute notes version of that.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It looks like Nicole Kidman and Xavier Bardem are going to be playing Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz in Amazon's Being the Ricardos. Which one will play Lucille? Which will be Ricky? Only time will tell. I have a feeling Nicole Kidman is slowly going through all the old female sitcom characters. Remember, she was Bewitched. And now this one.
So. Well, you want to see her next, Gilligan's Island?
She'd be Ginger, right? Yeah. I would like to see her as Carol Brady.
Sure.
And she could be the mother in the Partridge Family as well. And they're the only sitcoms I can think of right now from that era. Well, that's actually quite a lot of eras we just went through. The mother in Leave It to Beaver. Joan Beaver? Joan? Cleaver. Their name was Cleaver.
I don't know.
You don't know the Beavers?
I'm aware of the concept of them, but I've never.
Oh, cookie cutter, you know, perfectly ironed everything housewife. Stepford Sons or what? Stepford Wives?
Is it like the Andy Griffith Show? Which I don't really know that.
I know less about that.
I know the theme song of that because someone mixed it up with Beyonce's Single Ladies.
I'm doing the arm thing.
All the single ladies thing. That's enough.
So this is going to be set, I think it's a week of filming production of an I Love Lucy episode. So from the Monday table reading through to the Friday audience filming where Lucy and Desi face some sort of crisis in their careers and also their marriage. Apparently Cate Blanchett was somehow involved or connected.
That feels Australian racist.
Yeah. So what do they do? They're like, oh, Cate Blanchett's dropped out. Let's get the next one. And
how does it go? Cate Blanchett.
Yep.
Nicole Kidman.
I think maybe Margot Robbie.
Oh, I was going to say Naomi Watts. But there's been less buzz on her as of late. So you might be right. Margot might be up.
And then we'll have Naomi.
Who's after that? If it's a local thing, you're probably looking at a Claudia Carvin.
Claudia Carvin, 100%.
What's the blonde one from Rafters?
Oh, Rebecca Gibney.
Yeah,
you'd get her. So, yeah, that's a thing that's going to happen.
Which is the show that one of these days, wham, bam, off to the moon?
Wait, is that an Australian thing?
No.
Or are you talking about I Love Lucy?
It's an old sitcom where someone was constantly threatening to hit their wife.
Oh, is that the Honeymooners? The Flintstones were based on those characters.
It might be.
It might be him.
They make fun of it on Futurama.
I think that's him.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. He was a bus driver or something.
That makes a lot of sense, bus drivers.
Hail to the bus driver. Any other news stories?
Nope.
Yes.
There were others, but I just didn't make notes.
Fair enough. I got a fun quiz for you a little bit later on. I think it's going to be pretty easy because I had to ease myself into doing them again.
Oh, yeah.
And you have to ease yourself into answering correctly again. All right, let's get into some watching suggestions.
Let's do it.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
I don't know about you, but I felt during our break, which was not obvious because we were still releasing podcasts.
Yes.
But I felt that I was able to watch a lot of older stuff. So we'll have like a proper older stuff episode later.
Agreed.
On.
We'll bunch that up. I did the same thing. I had a lot of new stuff, but for the first week I was crippled by freedom.
Yeah. I don't want to watch
this new stuff because I need to make notes and still pay attention. No.
Yep. Yep.
So it took me a while.
Well, the first one that I jumped into was one that you actually suggested a couple of times last year. I watched the whole entire season of Upload.
Nice.
Great show.
Isn't it fun?
Yeah, really, really fun.
It's very so different to Good Place. Similar sort of ideas, but it comes at it from such a different direction.
I remember you saying at the end that you found it interesting to see how on earth they were going to continue the storyline.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly they are because I haven't finished a lot of storylines in there, but it was really good. I got it, watched the hell out of that, maybe three sittings.
Yeah, it's not particularly long. They're all half-hour episodes.
Yeah, yeah. They're really, really nice. So thank you for suggesting that because the algorithm didn't suggest it to me.
I know. I had to go looking for it. So the main guy in that is the cousin of Green Arrow.
Yeah. Was he in the movie that they did?
Code 8.
Yeah.
He's the main guy in Code 8.
Yeah, right. It's funny because he really is sort of a younger looking version.
I know, it's crazy.
It's so weird. Yeah, but look, if you haven't watched Upload, remember Tom's recommendation and then listen to my recommendation right now. Great show. And it felt fine to watch right now because you know how there's a lot of stuff we're talking about, like The Stand and that, you're like, oh. Or Utopia. Oh, it's a hassle. This one, it feels good to watch. Yeah, really,
easy,
really
breezy.
Good. Easy breezy.
I have one that was a real easy watch as well. It was only one 11-minute episode.
Oh.
It was part of Adult Swim's weird infomercial commercial blocks that they do.
Fun.
So Jo Firestone is, she plays Joe Perez's girlfriend on Joe's shows. She had a special called Rate the Cookie, Cookies or Friendship. And she set up a small stall outside of a supermarket.
Yeah.
And had $450 $350 and several boxes of cookies. And she invited people to come and sit down at the table with her and try different cookies and have a chat. And at the end, she would offer them, say, we could either make plans to catch up next week and you can have my phone number now. I'll give you $50. Most people took the money.
Bastards.
And it was hilariously depressing.
Humans are sometimes you get those little bits of you know humankind just being really cool and nice. Then you get that sort of thing where you're reminded. You're like, oh, that's right.
But it does come good in the end.
Okay, good.
And also, it's a very Joe Pera feeling production.
Ah, good.
Very very lo-fi mumblecore.
Yeah.
And just people chatting. And, you know, of course, one of the guys gets sleazy the second she says, let's exchange numbers and catch up. He doesn't want that $50.
Bastard.
But it's just a good feeling show.
That's
had
good.
Some really hearty chuckles. And
I want to watch that. That sounds like my kind of thing.
I have a feeling the budget for it was $500 and they spent $350 on the cash for it to use as needed, $80 on cookies and the rest for the table. And it was, great work.
Low budget.
Where we're going, we don't need roads. Unless you're listening to this in your car or on a bus or, hang on, we actually really do need roads. Guys, can we get some roads?
So it hasn't finished yet, but the latest season of Below Deck has been on, and I didn't watch a whole heap of them. And so we just binge watched a whole heap of them. This is the one with Captain Lee. And
I have to ask.
Yes.
Is anyone still on deck, or is this previously filmed?
This is previously filmed, and actually it was interesting the way they set this season up, which they never do. They had written at the bottom of the screen February 2020 at the beginning.
Ah, sure.
And sprinkled throughout the, you know, the different charters that they go on, you know, they often have somebody calling back to a family member. Like there was the chef's boyfriend is Italian, and she's like, oh, he's having a really hard time trying to get back into Italy because it's become a hotspot for this thing called coronavirus. And it's all this, and they're watching some of the people's reactions to COVID back then. You're like, oh, that's right, that's what we thought.
Yeah, we all thought this would just go over in a few weeks. We stayed home for a bit.
Exactly. And so where I'm up to at the moment, they're still there. They're still filming. They're still having charter guests. But there's news coming from America now, like, oh, yeah, there's a few cases there, but it doesn't seem that bad. So it's around that Italian-Spanish hotspot thing before it really kicked off in other places. But there's quite a few Aussies in this production, and I think I'd be interested to see how quickly they get back, because I think it was mid-March where we were kind of told by come home. So, yeah.
Mm.
But now I have to watch it week to week, which is very painful. I think there can't be too many episodes left. If they started filming in February and mid-March is when it all gets...
And everyone shut down cruises. Is it just maybe the tone of the show will change and it will become like Lord of the Flies, but on a boat.
That's right. Big Brother house. I don't know, because I assume this is the last season for a fair while, right? How are they going to film it? Because even if they do just have this boat or super yacht or whatever, where the crew are all on there by themselves, they still need guests to come on. Like, otherwise, what's the point of having them on the boat?
I would watch a show like that where it became like Among Us.
Yeah.
And we've got to work out
who's
the person with the COVID.
It's always like a third stew, right? It's the person shirt in the laundry, yeah. Yeah,
it's not going to be the main character.
What else have you watched?
I know I mentioned it before Christmas. Oh, I believe I did. That Charlie Brooker was going to have a new special for the end of the year. This is the man behind Black Mirror, and he often does a screen wipe end of year special. Well, last year they did no Black Mirror because he said the world was too fucked and it was too difficult to try and write something.
Yeah.
But he did a big budget version of Screen Wipe. And I don't know if you got to see this, but it was called Death to 2020.
It keeps popping up as on my recommended.
Watch it.
Really? Okay.
The timeliness of it is passing with every second.
Okay.
There's some real, real funny stuff in there, but there's also some insanely biting satire about the year that just was.
Yep.
It is a lot to sit down and watch all at once. You will experience a lot of emotions.
Sure.
I say that as nicely as I can. Yep. Like, there are points where Linz and I just had to stop and I'd be like, man, this is a tough watch. It's good. It's funny. But it is reminding you of everything that happened last year in like an hour and 15-minute block. All through the lens of someone cynical enough to come up with Black Mirror.
Yeah, okay. Okay, thanks for the heads up, because I don't think I would have gone in.
It's great. One of the best things I watched last year, his screen wipe always is. The people that he has as his writing staff are insane.
Mm.
Like the work they come up with is awesome.
Mm.
And he just, after so many different analyses of the year that was, to see one that had no... There was no, hey, next year will be better.
Yeah.
There was none of that. It was just refreshing of just like, hey, welcome to life.
Yeah. And if anything, you know, the beginning of this year has really just been a continuation of last year.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Okay. All right. I'll give it a watch, but I might need to do that when I am in the right headspace.
Yes. Watch it with a friend so you can have some laughs.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha. El Cid or Sid. S-I-D. I think that's how it's pronounced. But it is a show on Amazon. I think it's only like 5 or 6 episodes.
Right.
And it's got one of – it's got Denver from Money Heist, that Spanish program.
Yes.
As the main character. And apparently it's based on a heap of old poems from the Middle Ages in Spain. So there's a lot of kings and kingdoms and fighting and murder and mystery and intrigue. And I am pretty sure George R.R. Martin knew about them before he wrote Game of Thrones.
Oh, really? It feels like that?
There was a bit of that going on. I like that it didn't outstay its welcome. Like I said, 5 or 6 episodes and the season was done, left on a bit of a cliffhanger.
Yep.
So that'll be interesting to see what happens with the rest of it. The mullets are supremely spectacular. I don't know if mullets were a thing back in Spain in the 1500s or whenever it's supposed to be set, but they definitely have made a solid hairstyling choice.
I like that.
In production, yeah. Nice mullets too.
Too much focus on Vikings.
Yes.
Mix it up. Give me a bloody mulleted Spaniard.
It's beautiful.
No one expects that.
I didn't expect it. And to the point where you're like, if I didn't know that this was new, I'd be confused by those mullets.
So.
And I'd be thinking this was filmed in the 80s.
Is it just one limited series or is there going to be another one?
I reckon there's going to be another one.
Does it end like timing wise? I'm trying to work out. Is the Inquisition around? Because no one's expecting that for a season finale.
No. So imagine an Inquisition in the second season. Oh, yeah.
Maybe they're inquiring, what's up with your hair, pal? Yeah,
that's right. Come on, champ. Sort your hair mullet out. yeah, I liked it. I watched it all in a couple of days. On holidays, we were just powering through stuff. It was great.
Why not?
Yeah.
I did a similar thing. I watched a concert film of Muse's concert from 2019 called Simulation Theory, which is their most recent album. And this was very cool because I've never seen this done before. But so they did a big budget concert with all sorts of live 3D elements.
Right.
There were dancers on stage with trombones and all this sort of stuff. And I imagine anyone watching it would have been thoroughly confused by what the fuck they just saw. Because the second part of it is this concert film is also a narrative film.
Yeah.
And so it starts off with some guys in hazmat suits. There's an old arcade machine in the middle of a stage in a London amphitheater.
It's it's giving me vibes of who are the people? Devo? Were they the people that had the thing?
Imagine Devo mixed with Tron.
Right.
That's what this is. Oh. One of the hazmat guys touches the arcade machine and it somehow rips a hole in the space-time continuum and a Muse concert starts happening right there but from a separate reality, and so it's tearing things apart.
Okay. Yep. Okay. I'm with you.
In doing so, it somehow releases like a mutant zombie virus that begins expanding out throughout London and toppling the UK. All while Muse are playing live on stage.
There was some. I just thought you were going to say it was a concert.
That's what I didn't. I knew there was some weirdness, but I didn't know how weird it was going to get.
So much stuff.
It was really fun.
I bet it was.
It's stupid. Like stupid, like so Queen levels of over the topness.
Because I was about to ask you, I was about to say, like, were they trying to deliver this all seriously? But it sounds like no, they just went.
It was a mix of two. So the bassist smirks the whole time, but that's what he does all the time. Same with the drummer; he's a laughy guy.
Yeah,
Matt Bellamy, the singer, first song arrives from a platform underneath the stage and in the center of the crowd in a rotunda. Rising from a platform brings him up. Well, he's got one fist in the air, a leather jacket on, cool sunglasses with LED lights all over them, and it's just the drama nerd from school with unlimited budget
pretending
to be a rock star.
Oh, my God, it's amazing.
So good.
I can't imagine it. I'm going to have to watch this.
It's well worth a look.
Yeah.
Even if you're not big into music.
But zombies.
There's all this narrative stuff going on and it's...
Surely there was a production meeting where they said, all right, we want to film the concert, a concert. We want to film it. And they went, we've got an idea.
Matt was like, we can do that, but would it be cool if the last song, instead of playing to the audience,
yeah,
what about if I battle a giant inflatable demon on stage with the power of lightning shot through my guitar?
It's perfect.
It's perfect. This thing is so stupid. It's so much fun.
I wonder now, though, if they've ruined all future concerts.
I don't
for fans.
Think so, because you wouldn't go expecting that stuff.
Okay.
And it's done in such a way,
yeah,
that it feels like a one-off.
Okay, okay.
This was not their, they couldn't even turn it into a traveling show.
Sure, sure.
You know what I mean?
It's just too much. Too much. That's brilliant. What a surprise.
I know. It was awesome.
Gosh.
It was it was probably the biggest surprise of everything I watched in the break.
Yeah.
Of just, I thought I knew what I was getting into. It was not that at all. It was great.
Now, at the end of last year, I was talking about how I was reading Ready Player 2.
Yes.
And I finished reading Ready Player 2. And I what I'm going to say is the first 100 pages could have been about 10.
A lot of multiple descriptors.
And also, I don't think a storyline should start at page 100. Because I got to page 100 and I was like, oh, this is what the book's about.
Oh.
Yeah, no, it was bizarre. I don't know how they're going to make the film, because apparently they're making a film. There's a lot of, I mean, as you can imagine with the first one, there's a lot of 80s references to movies, singers, a whole heap of video games as well. But how are they going? I just don't know how I do not know how they're going to get the singers and the actors from all of those movies that they were talking about into a film that's being filmed in 2021.
Just do it like bloody Aha, and he steps into a comic book.
That's perfect. That's the only way they can do it.
There you go.
It's just a lot. It was a lot going on. It was a good read in the end, but those first 100 pages just felt redundant.
Too much world building.
Yeah. We don't need it, because the world happened in the first book. So I already know it happened.
Got to fill that page count somehow.
Yeah, I guess so. Anyway.
Expectations. Is it Ernest Cline? Is that who writes it?
Yeah.
What a name. Is it a pen name or is that a real name?
I don't know.
It's a name.
I hope it's a real name.
Ernest Cline sounds like the sort of person that would challenge you to a duel by slapping you with a white glove.
Yep. Yeah. And then start doing rap. Hip hop, wah wah wah. Did you watch anything else over the break?
I watched so much, but I won't. I'm not going to rip it all into it today.
Why don't you find your best one?
I don't know about best.
Okay. Well, look,
I'm going to say one. I really quite enjoyed this one. It surprised me. It was a movie on Netflix called We Can Be Heroes.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you saw that come up.
I did see it come up. I didn't watch it.
So it's Robert Rodriguez directed, produced, blah blah blah, and it is a sequel to Shark Boy and Lava Girl from mm-hmm. the '90s.
Mm-hmm.
Shark Boy and Lava Girl are grown up and are the parents now, and their children are in a training to be superheroes. And Shay is obsessed with this movie.
Amazing, that's so good.
Shark Boy and Lava Girl have a 6-year-old daughter who can both manipulate lava and goes into a shark frenzy. And when she goes into a shark frenzy, she has to put on cool girl sunglasses, and she just, you know, can scream and throw people
this
around.
This really sounds right up Shay's alley.
Oh, she's loves this girl. It's so cute.
So good.
Good fun movie. If you've enjoyed Spy Kids or any of that, you know, it's exactly what Robert Rodriguez does in his time off. He makes movies for his own kids.
Yeah.
And apparently his own kids helped with the storyline and everything for this film.
Really
they all
cool.
worked together and stuff.
That's
it's
awesome.
A really good, funny movie. Pedro Pascal is in there. He is the father of the main girl.
Okay.
Clearly meant to be a Batman mixed with Zorro.
Sure.
That type of swashbuckler
yep.
mercenary type. Very cool.
That's kind of his thing. Apart from Narcos, like the stuff that he's big, you know, famous for, that's his kind of character, isn't
swagger.
It? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yep.
I mean, the fact that he's able to do a proper swagger, literal swagger, in the Mandalorian Mandalorian costume is impressive.
It is. That's very good.
Got a lot of time for him. Got a lot of time. So that movie's worthwhile.
Yes, we can be heroes. I mean, look, you don't have children. I'm sure you haven't seen the rest of the Spyverse movies.
I think I watched the first Spy Kids movie.
But that was like 97 or exactly. Maybe even earlier. A very, very long time
ago. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's still all happening.
And it just surprised me that, you know, he's a free kids movie.
And school holidays are still on.
It's awesome.
So watch it.
Did you watch Soul before you?
No, I didn't watch Soul. You know why? Because I heard a few people say it's a bit sad.
I want to wait until you do check it out.
Okay.
Until you're in the mood.
All right.
It's brilliant.
Okay.
Brilliant. 5 stars. Brilliant. I really enjoyed it. We will talk about it
okay.
when you've seen it.
All
I don't,
right.
I don't want to get into it because it's a very spoiler. Like you just don't. The less you know, the better.
Okay.
There is sad, but
it's okay.
Your girl's in there.
Yeah, I know.
You know which girl I'm talking about?
Tina Fey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She brings it.
She's good? Okay.
She really brings it.
Okay. All right. I'll have it watched by next week then. Yeah, and we'll have a proper chat.
If not, I've got enough stuff to talk about next week. We can wait till the week after.
Me too. Should we do a quiz?
Yeah, can we?
Yes, we certainly can. This quiz, you know how sometimes most of the time I name it?
Yes.
Whether I remember to say the name or not. But I want to say the name because it's called Gosh, I Remember That.
Oh, gosh, I remember that.
Yeah, exactly. So this is how we're going to go about it.
Yeah.
It was, you know, like it from all of the things that Ready Player 2 gave me, it definitely gave me inspiration to watch some old stuff again.
Sure.
Like go back, be retro, and this has kind of inspired the quiz as well.
Okay.
So here we go. How many films did John Hughes direct? I had to change it from how many films did he write
because
it got very convoluted.
Yeah, this is where I'm getting confused.
I can tell
head.
You it's a lot less.
Yeah.
So.
Is it 8?
It's 8. Well done. 8. It's literally 8. That's amazing.
I counted them in my head.
Curly Sue, Uncle Buck, She's Having a Baby, Planes, Trains and Automobiles, Ferris Bueller's Day Off, Weird Science, The Breakfast Club, 16 Candles. He wrote or was involved in the script in some way of 35 films. I'm impressed that you managed to.
Thanks. Wow. Not confuse any of the written ones.
Yeah, because I assumed he did Home Alone.
No, that's Christopher
Nolan.
No. It's Christopher Columbus. Chris Columbus. Yeah.
Yep. Wow. I'm so impressed.
I'm impressed with myself too.
It doesn't matter that. If you get the rest of them wrong, you've still won. So good. How many seasons of Chippendale Rescue Rangers were there?
4.
3. I think I get some, like in hindsight, I get that mixed up with like
your DuckTales, your Tailspins.
Yeah, all of that stuff.
All the expanded universe stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I kind of feel like there were lots of them, but there was only 3.
Okay.
Great theme song though. One of the best. Who played Tommy Solomon in Third Rock from the Sun?
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
Yeah. I was like, I'm going to pick that one because you could have also thought maybe I was talking about John Lithgow's character.
No, see, I actually was on the Third Rock from the Sun IMDb yesterday.
Oh, what?
Because.
Why?
Well, this I was trying so to remember what's the older lady on that show? She's not the mum, but the mum in that setup or whatever. Not Jane Curtin.
Oh, okay, because I was going to go for her.
Kristen Johnson?
Yeah, Kristen Johnson. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I was trying to remember her character on Sex and the City.
Yes, she fell out the window.
Correct.
Yeah.
Which, because I was involved, there was a lot of discussion of what's, because there's a new Sex and the City series coming and it was like, what's going to happen with Samantha?
Doesn't exist, apparently.
And like I was in my head, I was like, oh, what was that? What was her? She'd fall out the window going, I'm so bored I could die. And then I went to write that and someone had already written that.
Oh,
that episode, I believe, is called Splat.
That's a great episode. That was a very funny episode. Watching it at the time, because now, like, whenever I I haven't seen her for ages, but when I see her in it, you immediately remember what happens to her. But in the beginning, you listen, at first watch, you're like, what? Did that just, that happened? So funny. Also, I feel like she, I haven't seen her in anything for ages.
She must have some views or something. There must be something.
Must be, right? She has to be somewhere. Yeah, Jane Curtin, that's who I immediately thought you were talking about. But she was the love interest of John Lithgow, wasn't
correct.
She?
Correct. Hmm. They're hiding things from her for a long time.
A very long time, however many seasons. What year did the Aussie show Cheese TV first air?
All right, so Cheese TV had your Samurai Pizza Cats. It had...
It was on Channel 10.
It is, I want to say 94.
Oh, 95. I would have thought a bit earlier as well. In my mind it was... But it lasted 10 years.
Do you want to know why, how I was trying to... No, I'm still a fan of them on Jaden Ryan on Facebook.
Nice.
I was trying to piece it together then because there was Ninja Turtles.
Yep.
And they dropped, I want to say, 89 uh-huh. cartoon series of that. And
yeah,
2 years later,
right.
You had your Biker Mice from Mars. And 2 years after that is when you had your Street Sharks.
This is a conversation we probably should have Trent from.
Oh, I know. He'd be all over Lego this. But Masters. I just, in terms of the knockoffs of the knockoffs of the knockoffs.
Sure, sure.
You had to get through a whole bunch before you got to your Samurai Pizza Cats. And that was one of the big ones on Cheese TV.
That must have been fun to film. They always look like they're having lots of fun. Do you remember the girl and then she ended up being a singer-songwriter, like quirky singer-songwriter? I can't remember her name. Linka? Link?
Maybe.
Linka? Something like that. What am I up to?
They were madcap guys, those two. They give out old unboxed N64s and stuff on Facebook.
So good.
Occasionally they're like, hey, check it out. It's Jade here. Look what I found in my cupboard. It's my old POG collection.
POGs?
Yep.
They should have a Twitch channel, those two guys.
I'm sure they do.
I would watch that.
I'm sure, like, they do a lot of silly stuff.
They're good. They were good. They were always good.
Very comfortable live on camera. It's a very rare talent what those guys had that I think was
even
undervalued.
As young kids, yeah. Well, not, they weren't super, they weren't kids, but they were young, like teenagers.
And they were of the school of your Dylan Lewis.
Yep. Absolutely.
It's live. I don't care.
Yeah.
Let's just get through this.
Yeah, we're just gonna go for it.
Yep.
What movie was Dexter Fletcher's first role
in? Suppressed Gang, isn't it?
Film. Don't know why I'm pointing at you so accusingly.
A very
I'm really
point.
Sorry. And then I paused because my brain stopped working.
So Suppressed Gang's a TV show.
TV show.
Yeah.
I'm gonna try and give you clues, but I'm wondering if you may not have seen it. It's from 1976. It's got Jodie Foster in it. It's set in the 1920s. Gangs, maybe Chicago. Scott Baio's in it as a young kid. Have you ever heard of Bugsy Malone?
I've heard of the person Bugsy Malone. I've not seen that film, but
it's
I'm aware of it.
It's really good.
Okay.
So all characters, like they're all adults, but they're all played by children. It's amazing. So instead of
sounds like a lot of
like
work.
The Tommy guns,
yeah.
The Tommy guns blast like cream pies at people.
All right.
Yeah.
All right, Bugsy Malone.
Yeah, Bugsy Malone.
Sounds
pretty
weird.
Sure
all
you'd
right.
be able to find it really easily.
All right. All right.
Final one.
You got me there on the Dexter.
Yeah. I was like, I'm going to do Press Gang, and they're like, no, find something else. He was in. He played Babyface. He's very young, but looks, he's one of those people who look exactly like he did. So even though he's in his 50s now, you're like, oh yeah, that's.
You know it's him.
Yeah. Yeah. What did the poster in on Mulder's wall say in The X-Files?
I want to believe.
Well done.
Thanks.
That was good.
Thanks.
It was good to get back into
yes,
it, right?
That was a good easing back in.
Yeah.
A couple of stumpers.
Yeah, but not too bad.
No.
But that first one, your John Hughes direction answer was.
Questions like that make you slow down. If you don't slow down every now and then, time pass you by.
That's beautiful. On that note, Tom, thank you very much.
Bow, bow, bow. Chicka, chicka.
Wasn't sure you were going to give us the last bit, so that was good. Thank you.